Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right. What's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am excited today. We have a fantastic guest. We have the head coach of Grace Women's Soccer, Mr. Michael Voss, in his 19th season at Grace, the all-time winningest coach in Grace Women's Soccer history. Awesome to have you here. How's it going today, Coach?
Oh, it is going great. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
No, I appreciate some time because I know you guys have a couple big games this week, and then we've got conference tournament time coming up, hopefully a deep run after that. But before we get to all the fun soccer stuff, so obviously you've been at Grace a while, but it's not your first stop. So how did you end up coaching soccer at Grace College?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story, you know. One of those that I think my players laugh and assimilate with. But you know, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up surfing, 72 degrees and sunny, and then you know hotter in the summer. And, you know, I grew up playing football, which is kind of part of my testimony. But the Lord drew me to himself through football. And so
football, you mean American playing, football, not football for our European audience.
not American football, European football. Yes. So okay. Soccer. Yes.
Oh, okay.
But grew up playing, soccer. And it was a very new thing in Southern California, but it became very, very popular. And so went through the club circuit, went on to play Division I football. Sorry, soccer.
It's your show. Yeah. We could call it football. I just thought that'd be an interesting change. You went from, you know, like playing wide receiver to playing some soccer.
Yeah, no, my dad would never have that. Me playing American football. Yeah, he was an American football guy. But my first coach was my dad. But grew up playing, went through the circuit, played some high level club, went through ODP. Ended up at Santa Clara, played there for a few years, and then transferred, ended up graduating from a school like Grace, at the time, in San Diego. And so then met my wife, and we made a very clear decision to move back to her hometown and work at a church and school called Calvary Chapel Murrieta and Calvary Chapel Christian School. And so we did that for 10 years. We were there with her little sister as she grew up. And then we got to this place where we're like, what are we doing? Like, God, what do you want to do with us? And, you know, I was coaching two club teams. I was the AD at the high school. I was the director of soccer. I was the assistant coach at Cal State San Bernardino, you know, like, and it was just like, what are we doing? Like, we can't raise our kids in this environment. And so we just prayed and the Lord led us to missions. And so we went through our missions training program for about 2 years. And then we were sent out as missionaries. To the Southern Jungle Belize, and our job was evangelism and discipleship through soccer, and we loved it. And like, it just radically changed our entire family. Like, we just suddenly just went just tight together. I mean, obviously you have to, right? You're in the jungle and it's raining and like there's no one around and there's cats and, you know, like
so jaguars. Also, so at that point it's just you and your wife? Yeah. Or
no, so it's me and my children. Wife, I think. Yeah, I think my oldest was, it was either 10 and 9, or it was like 9, 8, 6, and 4. Yeah, and so, and they loved it. They loved it. Kena doesn't remember a whole lot about it. Landon remembers it being really hot.
I'm sure.
The older boys are like,
that's crazy, right? Yeah. People tell me all the time, like, I hear the God led me to this direction. That sounds like one where God leads us, but yet we're still putting up some stop signs sometimes. Like, I heard you right. The jungle in Belize, because I mean, obviously, Southern California, coaching some college soccer, life is beautiful. So that's that's a big move.
Yeah, 9.5 miles into the jungle. Yeah, wow. It was awesome. Like, absolutely legitimate.
So where'd you live?
We lived in running
water, like, plumbing, or
we had running water. We had it was kind of fed from a water tower and it was collected. And so it wasn't like city water or anything, but then we also had, electricity. The kids actually rewired our whole house. And so when we first moved in, it had, I think maybe one room, and then we made it into two rooms and a living room, and then like gave ourselves a kind of a front entry, and like, and so it's up on stilts, and you parked underneath the, you know, underneath the house, and it was
Right.
plywood. Everything was plywood with screen all the way around. And
Crazy.
you know, when it was thunder and lightning, I remember like you're just like you are in touch with the fear of God, you know, when there's a
Yeah.
lightning storm, because you're just laying in bed going, I
God
hope I make
protect
it.
us, right?
You
And
know?
so you are in Belize, obviously God has called you there, and you're also still coaching soccer, or you're kind of leading some youth development soccer programs, or I mean, I don't know where Belize was at that point, you know, kind of as a football nation. Were you introducing a game they were super familiar with, or?
Yeah, so I mean, men's obviously, so it wasn't women, just kind of the culture.
Yeah,
But
sure.
no, it was like dealing with the youth, impacting the youth, doing a lot of youth events. But then, like, my job was to try and like open up the sports venue. So we would do like pickup games. And so we had a field. And so they would come and play like basically every night. And you'd come and just play pickup. Well, then they started a pro team in the area. And then one of the guys that we were working with like made the team. And so then I was, he's like, hey, come watch me play. So I came and watched him play. And I mean, I'm hanging on the fence, you know, watching him play for a couple of times. And then they fire the coach and they have no coach. And James is like, hey, like come tell us what to do. And I'm like, okay. So I come, I'm like, well, put Hefe on the outside and put Chewy up top. And you guys are going to get killed. So you better sit back a little bit. And, you know, I'm coaching them. And then the next thing you know, James sets me up with the owner at the fence. And he's like, hey, do you want to coach a pro team? I'm like, no, I didn't come here to coach a pro team. And he's like, well, like, what'd you come here to do? And I was like, well, I came here to like disciple people and share the gospel and read the Bible. And he's like, okay, the best thing is, it's like, if they don't do it, then I'm not going to pay them. I was like, okay, I got to pray about this.
I
So my
mean,
wife and I
what a
just.
cool example though. I mean, like, I think Play in Faith is founded on this idea that sports is this unbelievable vehicle to teach life. And then and you're literally in a position where your discipleship is through athletics. So that's crazy awesome. So how did it go? Okay, that's a heck of a job interview, right? You talking through a chain link fence, like, hey, do you want to coach a professional soccer team? I don't think that's how like Atlanta FC does it, right? So I mean that's kind of
True,
wild,
true.
right?
You nailed it as a vehicle though, like because like no one would go down there and be like, yeah, I'm gonna move to Belize to coach a pro team. Like no one can like make that story up, right? Like
That is
it's
God.
just God just opened. I met this guy at this chain link fence. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, hey, well, here's the unique thing. Like, I'm on a visa, so like, you can't pay me. And he's like, no problem.
Yeah,
You know, so
now you're hired twice.
yeah.
I
So
love this
he's like, you
guy.
got the job. And so, yeah, we did it. And it was a wild experience. You know, here I'm like, I would share in English, then they go English Creole, which is kind of like Jamaican. And then that would get translated to Spanish, Spanish to Quechua. Then the Quechua guys would have a question and go back down the chain of command, and like then I'd answer back and then come back, and it was wild. And you just, I mean, that's what sports ministry was. And then honestly, my wife and I were praying independently one day, and God just very clearly told us that like you're going home, like you're supposed to leave Belize. And I was like, seriously, I was at my little desk and I just pounded my hand on the desk and I was like, no, like I gave everything to come down here. Like we gave up
Right.
all of our earthly possessions. Like we were not ever coming back. That was never the goal, to come back.
Really? Wow.
And so then I'm just like, you know, it took me about 24 hours, and then I finally just went to my wife and I said, hey, I think God's telling us to come back. And she's like, I know, God already told me to. You know, I'm just like, it's
Wow,
our relationship, you know,
see, that's always
me
nice.
catching up.
I was nervous. Like, so we're entrepreneurs. I don't know if our audience have any episodes they listen to. We own a bunch of other businesses outside of this. And when I pitched this, look, I want to step away from all these other things I'm doing. I want to build Play in Faith. I was so worried to do that. I know that this is what God wants me to do because I didn't want to weaponize it. Because you know, she might be like, "Well, God told me he wants you to keep working." You know, I was like, "So, I mean, it's you know, I never wanted to weaponize it." So, what a wonderful situation to be in where you're both hearing that calling pretty loud and clear. And then, but home for you at that point though is San Diego, Southern California. That's not where you came back to.
Temecula Marietta.
Okay.
So just north of San Diego. So we come back, we're praying. A friend of mine's like, hey, like you should interview for this, like go back into college coaching. And I was just like, that's way too much work. Like, I don't want to do that. you know, and I want to do ministry. Like I want to do evangelism and discipleship through football. Like that's where my heart is at. Like I don't want to do the grind of a Division One assistant and Division One program.
Where
Like
it's just
I
all
had those
recruiting and
interviews.
traveling and scouting and game film.
And it's like, you know, three full-time assistants and like it's just like a lot of work. So we just prayed and God led me to grace through one of our people on our missions team. And I'll be brutally honest with you to say, like, I interviewed, like they called me, they, you know, we did this whole interview process. They wanted me to come out. So my wife and I are on the plane in LAX and we're like departing. And I grabbed the magazine in front of me and I open up the map and I'm like looking for Indiana.
Where am
Like
I?
I Yeah. And I was like, I turned to my wife and I'm like, dude, where's Indiana? Like in my head, Indiana was Alabama on the map. So I thought we were like Sweet Home Alabama, Jiggers, Tornado. You know what I mean? Like that's
You want
what
me to
I'm
edit that
thinking.
out, Coach? I feel like you should get this right.
I tell this in my recruiting when I recruit the kids too. So our players, and
It's
I'm
called
just like,
flyover country for a reason, brother.
no. So I literally said to her, I go, dude, we played at Santa Clara. I think we played Cleveland State and it was like cold in October. And we looked at each other and we're like, yeah, it might get cold out there.
See, I'm a
So
Florida kid that same
ultimately,
way. Yeah, my wife moved me here. That first year is a shocker.
no, every year is a shocker. Like, I just still can't believe how cold it is. Like, I don't know, but don't get me started. So ultimately, I'm on campus and I meet Dr. Roger Pugh as I'm walking across the campus, and I meet Dr. Kadip at the time. And they sell this vision of, you know, to know Christ and make Christ known, and, you know, being, you know, that's just left me. This, you might need to edit that part out, but the mission of the college, I just left my brain, but like
Yeah, Graces, I mean, they
the
are
character.
incredibly good about being on mission. What's cool is I've gotten to meet, obviously we've talked with Chad, your athletic director, and a couple of your other coaches, and every single person I meet from Grace, I know that you guys are on mission because all of you talk about being on mission. And it is, we are making Christ known, and Grace makes no apologies about it. They're excellent athletically, but that's second to what the mission is, right? So
Yeah, but to be a legitimate institution that's like doing it, like to
yeah.
be developing character, competence, and service, like to do it, and then to have the vision statement where you're like, there's these five principles, like live scripture, walk humbly, you know, and those right there, you look at that, and I'm like, that's what drew me. Like God almost like tricked me in the weather pattern to be like, this is where I want you. And so to us, it was just like, let's do it. You know, I mean, we slept on the floor of our rental house. We had no beds. Like, we slept on the floor for like months, like just in our sleeping bags. And like, that's where it all started. Like, that's how I got here, was
Those
just
fun
vision. I read,
days.
and, you know, my kids laugh about it now and the things that we went through in those early days. But like, we gave, every, like, again, like, we gave everything to go to Belize, but then it was like, we forsook everything. Like to come to this state called Indiana, where we have no idea where we are, to do the vision and to live the mission of Grace College. Like that is exactly how we got to Grace.
It's amazing. And 2 decades later, obviously you guys have had a ton of success. You are a are you in Winona? Do you actually live near Grace? But are you like Fort Wayne? You're still in the area, you're in Winona?
I'm right in Winona.
Okay, so yeah, you're right here, like right down the road from us. We record from Syracuse, Indiana, so not too far away. So obviously you've been here 2 decades. You guys have had a ton of success. I know you're coming down the tail end of the season, and you guys are a couple more games, but then you're getting ready for conference tournament. Hopefully a nice deep run after that. I know this team is particularly special because they have really grown and evolved. So tell me a little bit about your team this year, how they got to this point where they're in a position to make a nice run at winning a conference championship and hopefully beyond.
Yeah, they are a special group, I will say that. And they are an absolute, like, they're a barrel of monkeys at times, right? Like, they're super fun, but they're also like great people. Like, they are going to change the world. Like, I want to know what they're doing 20 years from now. Like, I want to be involved in what they're doing 20 years from now because they're a great group of kids. But yeah, so it was almost 2 years ago, we had this like very unique storm that hit where we ended up having like 20 graduates and two depart the program. So we had, I want to say it was like five or six people returning that year.
That's not a
And
lot. That is not a lot.
no, that's a recipe for, finding a new school to coach at.
Sure,
Your
sure.
administration might come to you and say, like, hey, peace out. But fortunately, I had the administration's backing, and I just said, hey, I want to bring in all freshmen. Like, I want to redo this. Like, I want to basically, I don't want to bring in portal kids and just fill it and win. Like, I want to rebuild the culture to the point where, like, it's exactly where we want it.
Love it.
And those were tumultuous times. Like, COVID was tumultuous times. And then even the few years after COVID, like, those were hard years too. And so, to have 5-year kids graduating, pre-med kids graduating in 4, and then the jumpstart kids graduating in 3, it was just a perfect disaster. But
Yeah.
it's led to this group of just having a junior class this year that's just phenomenal. Like, they're great leaders. They work hard. They're extremely talented, but they are all in on the mission of what we're doing, not only as a program, but as a school. And they're not perfect. Like,
Oh, of course.
they're not selling perfect. It's the art of continuing to grow, and they buy in. Yeah. So it's a fun group, and they're really good too.
Love it. When you say so, they're all in on mission. And one of the things we talk about, we have a lot of coaches who listen, and I love the, I mean, I coach a little youth basketball. I love the X's and O's, but what I'm really drawn to more is I'm a culture guy. I've spoken on leadership and culture all over the world for 2 decades. It's really what gets me going. And I find that when programs have excellent culture and we get these kids that are all in, doesn't happen on accident. There are some things that happen to nurture that in a program. So what is it about this group, or how did you get to a point where you've got a class that they are all in and you can just rely on them to have that proper culture? How do you get there?
One, just trust the plan. Like, I think for me and the school and the administration, just believe that doing the right things will lead to the right results. Like, we're not results driven. We're people and investment driven. So our goal is mentorship, like, walk with them. And again, you're going to have people that don't want it. And I guess I would go backwards and I would say, like, what are you all in on? Yes, they're all in on culture, but what are you all in on? I think just defining those and making it really clear. And then for those first two groups, not everyone stayed, of those two classes. Like, so this is a narrowed funnel group that chose to stay for the full, like, almost now 2.5 years. So for them, I think what it is, what makes them special, is just their ability to be like Romans 5. That's simple as it. Like, to be like, part of my journey is going to be suffering, and I'm going to embrace it because it's going to shape my character, and it's going to shape me in a way that I'm going to be who God created me to be. So I'm not daunted by hard. I'm not deterred by difficulty. I embrace that difficulty, and I say, what can I learn out of it? Whether that's molecular biology, or whether that's, we're doing our possession forms, like, in basketball, it's like rotations, and they're like, why? You answer the whys, like, but they have to be free to ask the why, and then they got to know that I'm going to give them the answer. So
Sure.
I'd say transparency too is a big piece of it.
That's such, I find that's a challenge now, the embracing the hard, right? It's for those of us in Indiana, it's a brand new era. It's the Wild Wild West with the IHSAA. Basically, kids can just go, right? I mean, you don't even have to move. You can just transfer. A lot of, and obviously in college athletics, that shift has happened for a while too. So obviously, no program is going to be 100%. People change, and we can't control every action, of course, but a lot of it does come in down to kind of the recruiting side of things. So what are you looking for to find those kids who can live through the hard, who can embrace the why at a Grace College? So what are some things you're looking for beyond obviously just the ability to run and put the ball in the
You're
back of
right.
the net and defend? Like, how do you find the right fit for your program?
That's exactly right, though, is you skip over all that other stuff, because that's what everyone else is looking for too. So you're looking for someone who, like, obviously is really good and that kind of stuff. But
Course.
for us, it really is deeper. Like, looking at them and spending time with them to find out, are you someone who, like, God is calling to make it? You know what I mean? And I think you look into them as you're recruiting them, and you're looking for a piece of redemptive potential, meaning it doesn't matter if they come from a horrible background or a fantastic background. You're looking at a person and you're just saying, like, are you a type of person that unfolds in adversity, and you can see it like through their career. And some of them, it's like they've been brutal all the way through, and then they come, and then there's this moment of like complete transparency and truthfulness and honesty where they go, I'm not who I want to be, and I want it. And then talking through that with them and saying, are you willing to do it? And by their answer, I think you know whether or not they're going to do it or not. And again, doing this 30 years now, like you can see it. You can see who's faking it and see who's like, you're not going to stop me. You know what I mean? That's who I'm trying to build. Is someone like, I want to get to the point where, and I like, this is our year, one of our points that we're focusing on this year. Like, I don't want to be telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to be doing what you're doing. And I want it to be like when you step on the field. And again, soccer is very different from other sports. And in fact, you blow the whistle and 45 minutes later, you stop. So you can scream your head off and yell at all the kids and stuff. But the truth is one, they can't hear you.
Yeah. So they're a quarter mile away from you. Some of them.
Yeah. And and it's just like, hey, do this. And like, I mean, it's just not going to work. So you have to train them beforehand and then give them the reins.
Yeah.
And I think communicating that with them and then just seeing their response, I think that's truly, I don't know if I answer your question, but like,
no, it's perfect.
To me, I think you can tell in that person by spending time with them, if there's someone who's going to be, you could come back to them and say like, did God lead you here? Hmm. And they say, yes. Okay. Then figure out this moment and go to God then and say, how am I going to work through this? I'll help you. My players know that I have their back relentlessly.
Sure.
They know that they can come in and be like, I blew it. I failed the test. I made a mistake. Like, I scored an own goal. They come to me and they're honest and they take ownership of everything. I don't care. Like, I think it leads to a conversation of failure, right? Where
sure.
Are you someone who is going to be able to fail and get better? Or are you someone who's going to fail and then never get up? I think it's just not biblical. Get up.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest differentiators in all walks of life. And we always say, like, sports is such a great dress rehearsal for life because success is not a linear journey. I don't know any entrepreneur, any business person that hasn't stumbled and fallen multiple times. And I imagine that's really where good coaching, good biblical-based leadership comes into play, because when you're recruiting someone at the level of Grace, probably hasn't been a lot of failure for their 16, 17-year-old athletic careers. These are stars, right? I mean, like, they're not struggling for the most part. That's why you're recruiting them, and to really help some of them deal with that. So I imagine that's where a lot of those conversations come into play. For a lot of them, this is probably the first real moment of athletic failure they'll experience.
But I think that's true, though. Like, and if you tell them the truth, right? And you say like, hey, look, you're a really talented player, but when you come in here for the first year, you're going to get your rear end handed to you every day in practice. And you're going to be thinking, man, I thought I was a forward. Maybe my dad was right. I should have been a golfer, you know, or I should have played tennis like my mom, you know? And yeah, you're going to have those thoughts, but ultimately you have to pray prior to making that decision and be like, God, what do you want me to do? Because I want to go where you want me to go. I want to do what you want me to do. And if you're leading me to come here, then you're going to supply my every need to get through it. I think for some, hearing that is like liberating. It's now there's freedom in it, because you're like, oh, like God allows things like Jacob to be sold into slavery, you know, like, and it saved the whole nation out of famine. Like, yes, like God works in that stuff. Oh, okay. Well, then God can work in me, because I think in our world of social media, like, no one's, well, there are some parody sites, but like no one in their personal Instagram like puts up, hey, check this out. Watch me fall down the stairs. Hey, watch this. Watch me score an own goal. You know, like, it's all about perfection. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nah, that's not real life.
It is a tough standard. And I think we do it even in our social lives, right? Where I'm always reminding people that Facebook is or Instagram is the snapshot of the greatest moments of our life. It's the Facebook effect, right? Everyone's kids are well behaved. They're all getting scholarships. They all have 4.0s. Yeah. Every business venture is a wild success. And there's a lot of other things that are going on. It does put a little bit of pressure on young athletes too, with there's so much more exposure than maybe like when we were growing up. So it's a lot to keep in perspective for them.
So it's tough, and I think they have it tough. Like, these kids do have a very different environment that they're growing up in, because all of their failures are out there. Everyone's going to see it. Like, whereas you and I, like, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, I don't want to date myself too much, but like when I went into my college coach's office to watch a video, you know, it was on this like tape and the screen was like maybe 4.5 inches big. Like, and you couldn't connect it to a TV. You know what I mean? So you're just sitting there shoulder to shoulder with your coach doing video.
Yeah, just
Like
hoping
now
someone
it's
comes and
like,
watches a game once, and you have a good day when the scout is there. And yeah, now it's like professionally produced highlight reels and social media followings. Like my nephew's like 13, I think he has more Instagram followers than Play and Faith. We're working on it, you know. Please share us with a friend. But
Just like him. Yeah, like him,
yeah,
see what
it
happens.
is. I think he's going to be his first NIL deal. He's like 12. But I think you make like an excellent point, and it's not even just for athletes, but for parents of athletes, as we are watching our children grow and compete and strive for these goals. And as youth coaches, it's not always easy to just let go and let God. I know I have to keep that in mind as we build here. My timeline might be God's. I'm in a hurry. You know, sometimes we just got to let go and just give it over to God. So I know we're pressing up on time here, just as we kind of wind down. We got a lot of young athletes that follow us in all different sports. We've had a chance to talk to some basketball, football, baseball, softball, track folks. You're our first soccer episode. So for some of these young soccer players coming up that are, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, and they're dreaming of playing beyond varsity ball, maybe it's Grace or college or even professionally. What's some advice you would have for a younger player who's moved into the stage where it's, yes, we still want to have fun, but they know they're serious. They want to do this beyond high school. What's some advice you'd have for them?
I think some of the most basic professional advice would be, you know, continue to do the work, play at the highest level that you can. But I think where I would go in this particular podcast and conversation is like when you're talking about the integration of faith, would be you have to find balance. So, you know, I remember my own ODP experience and my son's ODP experience of just you can't sell everything because ultimately, you know, this is a very narrow window. Again, you said it, like sport is a vehicle. So use it as a vehicle, get it to where you want it to go. You know, it's a business. You know, youth sports is a business.
It's
And
becoming it,
you
isn't
have
it?
to,
Yeah.
yes, on the soccer side, it absolutely is. I mean,
Sure.
from ECNL to DA to even ODP, you know, you're paying, you know, an absorbent amount to just be able to be in that group. And it's like,
Sure.
this is not the way the rest of the world works, but like it is in America. But I would say to that child, like embrace it, like enjoy it, like enjoy your sport, but like train. Like we live in a world where you have data, you know. Our team is fortunate to have a partnership with Whoop, you know, so we have these Whoop biometrical scanners and like you can look at your recovery and you can look at your strain and then you can balance your training and like get into it. Like, I mean, that to me, that would be a great investment for a parent of someone who's wants to train because now you're going to teach, you know, a 10, 11, 12-year-old how to train, not just like 5,000 shots on goal or you don't eat your dinner. You know, like that's just not how you're going to get there. Like,
Sure.
but figure out how to train. And I would say, like, from the kids' perspective, like, enjoy it, but like, do the work, but embrace the work, enjoy doing the work. And you can do it on your own. Like you can be here in Indiana
Oh,
and
yeah.
have a 20 by 20 piece of grass or in a pole barn or a concrete slab with a kickboard. Like you can do all kinds of technical work. Like make yourself better. You got beast mode, you got all this stuff on Instagram for individual skill development. Like do it and progress your own game. And then when you join in on the team stuff, you know, then you're getting your team atmosphere. But there's a local guy here, his name's Jose. He brings all levels and you have like, you know, he invites me to play and I'm like, I don't play. Like 5 knee surgeries later, like
I get
I
that
don't
part.
want one.
Yeah, let's
Like
just talk
I
about
don't
it.
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
get
want to be injured, but like, you know, he puts
it.
together a big old group of people and it's like college level players to like 10-year-old girls. And they're all scrimmaging playing 5v5 on the indoor court. I think that's healthy because now it's like you have a dad saying to someone else's daughter, like, hey, you're pretty good. Good job. Like, hey, high five. Like, but the
Right.
environment, I would say the environment is really, really critical.
See, I love the idea of like maybe make a really good point about just working on your own and enjoying it, falling in love with that sport. We just had that conversation in our practice this morning that a lot of people had goals for different skill development, and we're like, well, that's what we do outside of practice. We get a lot of kids who are like, well, I go to practice every day. I'm like, every athlete in America who plays a sport goes to practice every day. That is the bare minimum, right? That is just like, that's just showing up. But if we really want to push those skills, and where does this confidence come from? It comes from the work we put in. And then when we're in that team or competitive environment, we're so much more ready to go. So I love it. Thank you for some fantastic tips. So I know we are running just a smidgey at the edge of my time. I can never keep them under a half hour. I would
You're
talk
good.
sports and faith all day long. But I know you
Amen.
guys have conference tournaments coming up. What's the dates of your conference tournament? Because I love for our listeners and our followers to pray
Goodness.
for our guests and their teams. So obviously we're going to be praying for you and the girls over at Grace. You got what, about 2 weeks till conference tournament? Like
Yeah.
first mid-November, early November?
Yes. Yeah, so we got a game Saturday, last two league games that are Saturday and then Wednesday. And
Okay.
then a week from next Wednesday is the first round of the quarterfinal. Yeah.
All right, good stuff. Well, Coach, thank you so much for stopping by. We are going to be praying for your girls and all the athletes over at
Thank
Grace
you.
College. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you for what you guys do for our community too. It is a real blessing to have Grace here. I appreciate it.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate what you're doing, man. Keep getting people in here. I listened to a bunch of the podcasts and it's
Awesome.
great, man. Keep it trucking. This is good.
That's the goal. Well, thank you, Coach. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. I will be praying for Grace College and all your girls. Thanks again, Coach. Appreciate it.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.